Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
We're talking about remarkable rivers and their value to life. What kind of role do they play in your own life? For me, at least, growing up, rivers weren't a big deal. Although any time we found a river, we would either go swimming, tubing. Tubing is when you take the inner tube from a tire out of the wheel and you put it on the water and it floats and you go down the river. It's very fun in the summertime. We would do that. My dad loved to fish, so we would often go fishing. But as far as a river having a lot of value to my hometown, it did not. We had no river. We had to go drive for about an hour or two, and we'd find some rivers or at least a reservoir that we could go and play in. But what about you, Tom?
River? Yeah, well, last time I mentioned going down to the local river in my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
To skip stones on the water, to go hiking along the river, especially during the winter doing cross-country skiing up the river because it was frozen.
Oh, cool.
Or if the river was frozen but it hadn't snowed yet, you could actually go ice skating on the river.
Really? You were brave enough? I would be afraid the ice would break.
It freezes pretty thoroughly during the winter. There's no real trouble with that.
Wow.
But there was always a problem. The river would freeze and then snow would fall and then you'd have all the snow, which is difficult to skate through.
Yeah.
But if you were lucky enough for the river to have frozen before the snow falls, hey, it's a huge skating rink out there. But, of course, rivers are also very much part of life here in Taiwan as well. We're going to talk about some interesting facts about some of the world's best-known rivers. You know, the Indus and the Ganges and the Nile and stuff like that. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's listen to the contents of today's lesson one time.
Here are some interesting facts about some of the world's best-known rivers. For centuries, most experts believe the world's longest river was the Nile. However, some measurements suggest the Amazon is slightly longer. Both rivers have played vital roles in supporting life. The Amazon flows through South America and is home to amazing wildlife, such as the Amazon River dolphin. It's the only dolphin in the world to have bright pink skin. To this day, the Nile remains one of the wonders of the world. It runs through Egypt, which is mainly a desert country. However, the Nile's seasonal flooding creates fertile soil that's perfect for farming. This enabled ancient Egyptians to become masters of agriculture and build a powerful empire. Perhaps the world's most sacred river is the Ganges River in India. Hindus believe the spirit of the goddess Ganga lives there. Therefore, it's a place where people can wash away their sins. Any prayers or offerings made beside the river are thought to bring good luck too. It's plain to see that rivers are essential to our future survival. Unfortunately, pollution and overfishing have inflicted serious damage on some rivers. One that suffered from this was the Rhine in Europe. During the 20th century, chemical companies were allowed to dump waste into this river, and over time, the water became dirty and polluted. After a chemical spill in 1986 that devastated life in the Rhine, Switzerland, Germany, and France took action and created laws to stop pollution. Today, salmon and other fish have returned to the river. The Rhine's experience, though, serves as a warning that we should pay more respect to the rivers that give us life.
Okay, we're going to continue talking about remarkable rivers and their value to life. Now, as promised, we're going to talk about some interesting facts about some of the world's best known rivers, some of the famous rivers in the world. Now, for centuries, for hundreds of years, most experts believed the world's longest river was the Nile. I believe I was taught that when I was a kid. The Nile River is the longest river in the world.
I still have a dictionary right here in my hand that says the Nile's the longest.
Okay, okay, very true.
But that's in my, what do you call these Kindles?
Our e-readers our e-books. But in any case here, it does go on to say in the next sentence, however, some measurements suggest the Amazon is slightly longer. So measurement, of course, is when you measure something. And I guess it kind of depends on how they measure these rivers. Do they measure every little bend in the river?
They should.
They should, yes, indeed. So I guess it might depend on how you measure the river or which tributaries you count as part of the river. That might have something to do with it as well.
Better tell them what tributary is.
Tributary is just another river that flows into a larger river. And sometimes it's kind of hard to tell. Like in the United States, like the Mississippi River, as you go further north, will branch off into the Mississippi, which goes on to Minnesota. But then there's the Ohio River that goes east. But, you know, they look the same. So who's to say the one that goes to the north there is the Mississippi or the one that goes east is not the Mississippi? But that's how they've named it. So, of course, this is all, you know, this all depends on how people decide to measure them. But in any case here, it does say some measurements suggest or kind of tell us that the Amazon River in South America is just a little bit longer. That's what slightly means, just a little bit. In my family, I'm 6 feet 2 inches tall, but my brother is like 6 feet 1 inch and a half, so I'm slightly taller than him.
Just a little bit. Just slightly, So not too much, but I bet the Amazon River's pretty proud that it's finally being declared the largest, or at least the longest. Both rivers have played vital roles in supporting life. I mentioned in our previous lesson that a body can go without food for quite a while. And if you're quite fat, you have a lot of fat on your body, you can actually go a year without food. There was a guy who went a year without food and just had liquid, and he lost a lot of weight, and he ended up being okay. So if you get lost, you need to make sure you have some water with you. If you don't have food, you can go without food for a while, but not water. So we can say that water is vital to our staying alive or our survival. So it's vital. Your vital organs, you'll often see that when people are talking about your vital organs being your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidneys. Those are things you can't live without. They're vital. So the Amazon flows through South America and is home to amazing wildlife. You've probably also heard about the Amazon, the jungle, right? Yeah, there's a jungle and there's a river too. There's just a lot of wildlife that either live in the water in that river or outside of it. It produces a lot of crazy, amazing wildlife. For example, I didn't even know about this Amazon River dolphin. It's actually got bright pink skin. Have you seen this before, Tom?
I've seen pictures of it.
Not in real life, though, huh?
No, I've never been to South America before, but this is an example of some amazing wildlife in the Amazon River. Also, the anaconda, that big snake down in South America. Well, here we've got that pink river dolphin, and it's the only dolphin in the world to have bright pink skin. Hey, be the first kid on your block to get a picture or to get a selfie with a pink dolphin in the background. You'll be the envy of all your friends. Now, moving on to the next paragraph here, it says, to this day, the Nile remains one of the wonders of the world. We do talk about the wonders of the world. This would be a natural wonder of the world, like, you know, Mount Everest or something. That's probably a wonder of the world because it's the tallest mountain. And the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, that's a wonder of the world. So the Nile River is also one of the wonders of the world. It runs through Egypt, which is mainly a desert country. I was also told that the Nile is special because it actually flows north. Lots of rivers don't flow north.
Yeah, it's true.
They either flow south or east or west, but flowing north is kind of unusual.
Yeah.
But this one actually runs through Egypt, which is mainly a desert country. They've got lots of sand there. So my goodness, how could a river exist in such a place?
Crazy, huh? Egypt is the country that has those amazing pyramids that were built hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It is mainly a desert country, has a lot of sand, like Tom said. However, the Nile's seasonal flooding would be perhaps in the spring when there's a lot more rain, perhaps. You know, the river can overflow the banks. The bank of the river is the edge of the river. If it overflows, of course, it's going to flood. And there are areas where seasonal flooding happens quite frequently. I know China has a lot of seasonal flooding with some of their rivers. So the water goes over the banks and into the ground and probably homes that are nearby, causing a mess. We hate flooding here, I know. When we get typhoons, we'll sometimes have flooding that happens. But this seasonal flooding actually helps the soil or the dirt that is found around the river. So it's actually perfect for farming. So if something's fertile, guys, it just means it can reproduce. We'll often talk about women being very fertile, or she's so fertile, just meaning she's able to have a lot of kids. But if soil is fertile, it can really help with the crops you plant there. You'll produce some really good tasting vegetables, typically.
Yeah, and if you grow those vegetables long enough, eventually the soil will not be fertile anymore.
True.
So you need to add fertilizers to that soil so that you can continue to grow crops there. So indeed, the flooding of the river makes that soil fertile, which is perfect for farming, and they can keep growing food there. And the Egyptians can continue to be strong and powerful, and this enabled or allowed ancient Egyptians to become masters of agriculture and build a powerful empire. So they could build the pyramids and have the pharaohs and stuff like that. Okay, we'll talk some more about some amazing features of rivers in the world in just a second. Right now, we're going to take a time out and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, my name is Shelby. 今天要看世界上的一些主要大河。在第一段提到 Amazon River, 亚马逊河以及 Nile River, 尼罗河。这两条河被认为是世界上最长的河，而且我们看第四句的地方，两条河都是 played vital roles. Play roles 就是扮演着什么角色。Vital 是重要的，扮演着重要的角色。In 加方面在哪方面呢？在 supporting life 维持生命上。第五句 The Amazon 这时候呢是指亚马逊河，如果把 A 变小写，它是名词，变成高大的女人。在希腊神话中，亚马逊的女战士也是 Amazon。 Flows 流经过 South America 是南美洲，然后呢是 is home to 点点点。Is home to 是一个片语，表示是什么什么的家园，后面直接加那个接的名词。Amazing wildlife, 令人惊奇的动物。例如像是 Amazon River Dolphin 海豚。Amazon River Dolphin 是亚马逊河豚，它的外形非常相似住在大海的海豚，不过它是生活在 Amazon River, 是属于体型最大的淡水豚。那尼罗河呢？我们到第二段的地方，第一句 To this day 就是到目前为止，至今，也就是 so far 的意思。 The Nile remains 是保持保留，它是连缀动词，后面直接加名词或形容词分词等。这个字非常的好用，同学不妨把它学会。好，是世界上这最大的惊奇之一， Wonder 是惊奇，因为啊，它定期泛滥，反而带来肥沃的土壤，很适合农耕。Fertile, 那 fertile 是肥沃的意思，和它相反，贫瘠的就是 barren, B-A-R-R-E-N.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're on day two of our culture unit, and we're talking about some of the world's remarkable rivers and what kind of value they added to life around those rivers, to the people and to the wildlife, itself around those areas of river and water. And water is so, so, so important. I like water just because I grew up with a dad who had grown up in the desert, you know, or dry, dusty Texas. He spent time there too, and he just loved to go fishing. And so any chance we had, whether the river was big or was quite small, we'd still try to fish. That's why I asked you if you went fishing in the river you live by, Tom, because that was just something we did all the time. Let's go fishing.
Well, I went fishing in a nearby lake, but in the river. Mm. In the river, they probably had catfish and bullheads and things like that. In the lake, they had walleye and northern pike.
We had some trout.
Yeah. Trout, okay, trout. That's a fish that's not common in my hometown.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, lots of trout.
No trout and no salmon, but we had walleye and perch
other
stuff. But in any case here, let's talk about the Ganges River in India, okay? That's a pretty popular river in the world, or famous river.
Yeah.
So perhaps the world's most sacred river is the Ganges in India. So if something's sacred, it has to do with religion or gods or something, and you can't make fun of it. You have to treat it seriously. Like, of course, in the Middle East, there are lots of sacred places, like the Wailing Wall. Is that in Bethlehem or Jerusalem or something?
Jerusalem, yeah.
Okay. That is a sacred place for Jews, I believe, and another part of that city is also sacred to Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, they're always fighting over those things.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case here, this river is considered sacred to Hindus in India.
Right. So they believe the spirit of a goddess lives there. The goddess is Ganga or Ganga. We're not really quite sure how the Hindus pronounce that. But so if a goddess were to live in a river, you can imagine you would try to treat it more respectfully because they do believe it's sacred. So any prayers or offerings made beside the river were thought to bring good luck. I've seen that happen. So it's a place where people can go and wash away their sins. If you haven't seen this yet on TV, perhaps, jump on the internet, go to YouTube. There are lots of videos you can see that show this Ganges River in India. There are so many people bathing in this place, and I keep thinking, are they getting clean, though? There are so many dirty people bathing in it. I can't imagine. But see, I don't see it as sacred because I don't believe in the goddess Ganga, but if you do, that water would be very sacred to you. So you would do it to wash away your sins. Sins are things that you do wrong. Typically, it's not breaking the law. The sins are doing something wrong morally. For example, if you have an affair with somebody who's married, that's not against the law, but it is a sin. Or if you lie, that might not be against the law, but it's a sin to lie to somebody or to covet something, to be jealous of something someone has. Those are sins. So any prayers or offerings made beside the river are thought to bring good luck. Now, we know about offerings here in Taiwan because things are offered to the gods here on special days according to the calendar. So an offering to, for example, to the ghost, you know, on Ghost Festival, Ghost Day, everybody puts out their table and stacks food and different types of things that can be eaten on this table, and incense is lit. Those are offerings that you make to whatever god you believe in. Well, their prayers and offerings are made beside the river, and they think that anything they do that's by this river will bring good luck.
I think they offer flowers or something like that. Those are offerings that are made next to the river, and they will bring you good luck if you make those offerings. Sometimes those are referred to as sacrifices. Offerings, though, that word is very common as well.
Uh-huh.
So here in the next paragraph it says, it's plain to see that rivers are essential to our future survival.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain to see. It's obvious. You don't need to explain this too long to someone. They should be able to understand it. It's as easy as pie, as we say. It's plain to see, it's clear, it's obvious that they are essential, they're vital, they're important to our future survival. We've got to have them, and we've got to keep them nice and clean.
Unfortunately, there's pollution that's happening. People are throwing trash and garbage into the water. Also, dangerous chemicals are sometimes put into the water, which is killing our fish and our sea life. Also, here's another problem, overfishing. People who go and take all the fish that they catch out of the river. I know there are laws along some of the rivers that if a fish is a certain size, you have to throw it back in. You need to obey all those laws. And if it says don't fish here, don't fish there. Try to obey the law and respect the rivers that we do have. It says here you might be inflicting serious damage on some rivers. If you inflict harm or do something mean to somebody, you're inflicting an injury on them or inflicting pain on somebody. It just means you're causing someone to suffer. So you can inflict damage, inflict pain on someone, and you can inflict suffering on someone if you're just, you know, not loyal or you tell a lie about somebody. We use this verb to talk about causing someone to experience something painful or unpleasant.
Yeah, you could substitute the word cause here. Pollution and overfishing have caused serious damage or brought about serious damage or inflicted. Inflict is a stronger word here, though, which means they are seriously damaged because of pollution and overfishing. And one river that suffered from this was the Rhine in Europe. Of course, that's a famous river in Europe.
It's
beautiful. We tend to think of the Europeans as being very clean people, but even they pollute their rivers, or at least they did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And during the 20th century, which would be the 1900s, chemical companies were allowed to dump waste into this river, and over time, the water became dirty and polluted. So maybe after World War II, lots of those countries weren't very rich or something, so the government said, go ahead, dump your chemical waste into the river. It won't harm anything. It'll just flow into the ocean, and the ocean's big. We don't need to worry about that. So they were allowed to dump their waste into that river. So dump here just means to release something, especially if it's a large quantity, and usually it means something bad like garbage or chemicals or stuff like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about one of the biggest chemical companies is BASF. You've probably seen those letters. I know they're here in Taiwan too. But it's a German company, and they, when you make a chemical, there's always pollution that remains from that. And a lot of that was dumped into the water because some of the factories were really close to the Rhine, which is horrible. And what happened, they had a chemical spill. They didn't mean to have the chemicals go into the river. If it says spill, it means it was an accident. But even if it's an accident, it causes harm. And it devastated life in the Rhine, meaning it killed a lot of the sea life that we had there in the Rhine. And there were countries that got together, Switzerland, Germany, and France, and they said, enough's enough. We're going to protect this river we have. The Rhine is so beautiful. So I'm glad they did something. So they took action and they created laws to stop pollution.
Exactly. So, of course, the river starts in Switzerland, and it goes between Switzerland and Germany, and then through Germany and through the Netherlands, I believe. So all these countries took action and created laws to stop that pollution because they realized, hey, we can't have this dirty river here. How are we going to sell tickets for tour boats on the Rhine when the river is so dirty? We've got all these tourists coming from Japan and China.
Well, that I don't kid about those tours. The Rhine River tour is so fun. It's got all the castles, you know, that you can go and see, like Cinderella's castle that was replicated in Disneyland. So yeah, it was a big deal. It was the Sandoz chemical spill. I just looked this up.
Okay.
It was a big deal. It was a Swiss company that did it. So,
oh, Swiss? I thought they had the watches.
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing with chemicals?
Oh, they're the ones who won't let you into their country unless you have lots and lots of money. Anyway, they took action. The citizens band together and said, this is enough. We're not going to let these companies pollute our river. So today, Sam and another fish have returned to the river, which is a miracle. And the Rhine's experience, though, because it went through this awful chemical spill, this serves as a warning that we should pay more respect to the rivers that give us life. If you serve as something, that's what you're functioning as. So this horrible experience functioned as a warning to us. It got people to stop and think about what they were doing and how we needed to actually protect those rivers if we wanted to have life in them in the future.
Yeah, for example, I served as the MC for my sister-in-law's wedding many years ago.
Or I served as a witness in a trial, a criminal trial. You gave your testimony.
Yep, yeah. You played that role. Uh-huh. So here, this serves as a warning. Let that be a warning to us all that we need to take care of our rivers so that we can all live on into the future. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation. Let's listen now to our Chinese teacher.
接着我们到第三段看一下印度的恒河，在第一句中间有个生字 sacred, 是神圣的不可侵犯的 ,sacred temples 就是圣殿。好，我们到第三句 ,therefore, 因此啊 ,it 这里是指 Ganges, 就是恒河，恒河是一个地方，后面接着 where 子句 ,where 呢是关系副词，表示在那个地方 ,in which 的意思，在那里人们可以洗净他们的 sins 就是罪或者是过失，只要在恒河洗了澡就可以获得救赎无罪。最后一段我们来看对河流的醒思，第一句的地方 ,it's plain to see that, plain 是朴素的普通的，我们这里当作明显的。好 ,it's plain to see, 就是很显而易见的 ,that 什么事情。it 在这里我们当虚主词代替后面的 that 子句，因为 that 子句是真正的主词，太长了，为了避免头重脚轻，我们因此用 it 为主词。好，我们先看 that 后面。这些河流是 are essential to,essential 是必要的不可或缺的，它的用法 be essential to 或者是 for something, 对什么是不可或缺，对我们未来的存活是不可或缺的。第二句，不幸的是啊，污染和 overfishing 就是过度捕捞已经 inflicted damage on, inflict 就是使遭受或承受痛苦， damage 破坏，on 后面加受词在哪方面，过度捕捞使河流遭受破坏。我们再举一个例子， don't inflict damage on any person 就是不要伤害任何人。接着还有其他伤害河流的例子哦，我们到第五句的地方，在什么之后呢，一个 chemical spill, chemical 化学物， spill 是洒出来，在一个化学物外溢1986年的时候， that 这个形容词子句来形容这个 spill, devastate 是摧毁生命的意思了，在这个莱茵河，所以相关的国家像瑞士啦、德国啦、法国啦， took action,采取了行动， took 是 take 的过去式，然后立法来停止污染。今天莱茵河总算是复活了，而且成为一个警惕性的经验，我们应该要更尊重河流。另外我们来看最后一句的一个片语，叫做 serve as, serve as 是充当担当的意思，例如 she serves as a waitress 就是她担任一个服务员的工作。以上是今天的讲解，谢谢收听。
That's it for today's lesson. Thank you very much for listening, and hopefully, you have a renewed respect for rivers and you'll take better care of them so that your children's children's children can live in peace and harmony in the future. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.